Right. Happy Veterans Day. Any veterans in here tonight? Harry? Happy Veterans Day, Harry. Thank you for your service. Thank you. Yes, it is quite happy. Throughout the ages, in every dispensation of time, God has prompted, called individuals to do something that needed to be done. Each time he does that, something amazing takes place. And I say amazing in two different ways. In one way, it would be amazing that if God visited you directly and asked you to serve him and you said no, that would be amazing. Even more amazing is when God asks you to do something and you respond to him and say yes, but you recognize you don't have what is you don't have it in you to do what he's asking you to do. Abraham didn't have it in him, literally, what God wanted him to do. Nor did his wife. Moses didn't have it in him to do what God wanted him to do. Noah didn't have it in him what God wanted him to do. Gideon didn't have it in him what God wanted him to do. David didn't have it in him what God wanted him to do. Jeremiah didn't have it in him what God wanted him to do. Daniel didn't have it in him what God really wanted him to do. And every time these men or women, Deborah didn't have it in her what God wanted her to do, because Barak wouldn't do, or Barak, was it Barak and Deborah? Deborah and Barak? Not Barak. Barak doesn't have anything in him that God wants him to do. But Barak didn't want to do what God wanted him to do, so he called Deborah to do what Barak was supposed to do. Barak? I don't remember. Who was the guy? Barak? Now I'm confused because of the name. The guy. The guy wouldn't do what God wanted him to do. So the woman replied. The woman responded to do what God wanted him to do. And she did what he should have done. And I was thinking about that this morning, and I thought to myself, I don't want God to have somebody else do what he wants me to do. I don't want God to have to call a Deborah to do what I needed to do. God calls me to do something, and there's a need. Even if I don't have it in me what God wants me to do, I'm going to do what he wants me to do because he can give me what I need. The Bible says he's faithful. Who calls you, he'll also do it. See. Now today, this world right now is at a real rough spot. And God needs people to do what he needs them to do. He needs people to make disciples more than ever. He needs people to win souls more than ever. He needs people to stand up for the truth more than ever. And sometimes it's inconvenient. Sometimes it interferes with what I want to do. Sometimes it goes right across the grain with my preferences. But everybody, every man, woman, boy, and girl in this room needs to remember something. That when the dust settles and they throw the last shovel of dirt on you, the only thing that's going to matter is whether or not you did what God wanted you to do. Everybody understand that tonight? And I don't mean to be morbid, but that's the reality of it. I was with a group of men today and women over at the American Legion. And I'm the chaplain there now, and I offered the opening prayer and benedictory prayer for the service for veterans today. And our commander, Sharon Reynolds, was sharing some stories about Seneca Falls natives who went headlong, face first, into blazing danger. Some of them went willingly into death, to sure death. Some survived, some didn't. There was one young man who was 17 years old, and he was 6 pounds underweight. And the story goes that the day he was going to go enlist, he ate about 20 bananas and went down and enlisted. He got 6 pounds of food in him, went down and enlisted. Then afterwards he did what he had to do, and he lied about his age. And he ended up serving in Germany during World War II. To willingly go. Wouldn't be stopped under any circumstances. Nothing could stop him from going. And I think about that kind of determination to do something, and I often wonder, what is our level of commitment to the will of God? What could stop me from doing what God wants me to do? What could distract me from the service that God would have me render? Sometimes I'm not sure what that service is. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I'm not 100% sure. You say, what do you mean? You're a pastor. That's the easy part. In this way, and I mean it like this. I know I have to preach twice a week. It's on a schedule. I even know what time I have to serve him. That's the easy part. But can I love somebody who has chosen to identify as a different gender? Can I speak the truth to them with the right timing? Will I be able to communicate Christ and not blow it? See, those are the things we all face. Can I put the right amount of authority in my home and not lose my teens? Now, I'm thankful tonight I have some great young people in my house. So they're, two of them aren't even teens anymore. Well, David's still a teen. Late teen. He's like a 30-year-old with a mustache. He's like a little French 30-year-old now with his mustache. Paul at the same, you know, Paul, who knows, a rebel. I mean, I got all kinds of problems. But, you know, we have young people in our lives, and, you know, it's like the right amount, what's the right amount, what's the right amount of authority in the home? We wrestle with it. We should wrestle with it. Shouldn't we? When to speak out, when to be quiet, when to embrace, when to refrain from embracing. See, those are the tough parts. Those are the hard decisions. And the only way I'll ever know if I'm doing what God wants me to do is if I'm in tune with Him. How do I stay in tune with God? Boy, by presenting myself a living sacrifice every moment of the day. Being available. First thing, okay, God. I got an agenda today, but I don't know if it's even right. I've got some things on my calendar. I'm not sure if they're the right things to do today. So God, you're going to have to lead me. But see, that's the easy part. Can God prompt me in the middle of the day to change direction? That's the hard part. Can God prompt me in the middle of the day to go sit with that person? Today I was at the Legion. I was getting ready to leave, and I looked over. I saw an elderly gentleman sitting having a bowl of soup. And I walked over, and I sat down with him. And he looked up at me, and he said, Jerry, how are you? And I recognize his face from some of the Legion meetings, but I don't remember. I didn't remember his first name. I did after a little bit in the conversation. We talked for a few minutes, and then I got up and I walked away. You know, I realized this morning when I got a text at 6:30 that one of our local veterans committed suicide. How important it is, every moment of the day, to be willing to be led aside to someone. And sometimes the person we're being led aside to is a little, we're almost, sometimes they're not repulsive, but our personalities are repulsed. We don't go near. But this precious veteran who took his own life this morning, local man, it'll be in the news, his name is Tom Smith. He was known as Goober to many people. And there was someone at a meeting Friday night, it was our commander, and she said to me, you know, I looked over at him, and he was kind of staring off. And I didn't go over, and she said this to me today. She said, something said to me, I wonder what's wrong. And she said, and I didn't get up and go over to say hello. Can you be prompted? Can you be sensitive enough to God to be prompted when that happens? Because we don't know what people are dealing with. You don't know what people in this room are dealing with. I'll pick on Lily. I almost said Lilac. She said, why do I want to pick him? But you know what? I would say hello to her and pick on her a little bit because I don't know. Who knows? You look over at Jody. Who knows what Jody's dealing with? Who knows what Annika is dealing with in her life? So here I walk into a room and I can say, hi, and go my way. Or I can walk into a room and think to myself, okay, up goes the radar. Okay, God, who needs this? Who needs me tonight? You know, sometimes you'll see one of our guys or one of the ladies spend a little bit of time with one of the little ones. And you know what? That is so incredibly valuable. You have no idea how valuable it is. Because we overlook them so often. Don't overlook the little ones. No, you're not a little one anymore, Tucker. You're like an old, you're like a middle one. No, you're not a middle one. You're the low to mid-range. You know what I mean? Like 13, right? How old are you? 14, oh, excuse me, 14. I miss me. Derek, you're still a little one. I still consider you a little one. I do. Turning? Why do you say turning? Milk turns. When he was 10, you were tall. You're taller than he was at 10. Are you going to be as annoying as he is when you're 13? Oh, I forgot your other thing. I'll be preaching about how to deal with conflict on Sunday, so you'll want to comfort me. So I just want to close with this, all right? You imagine the conversation that God has with Moses. And God says, I need you to do this for me. And Moses says, Can you get somebody else to do it? Why, Moses? I'm not your guy. I don't talk real well. You know, and you don't know what was going on in Moses' mind. Maybe it was, I grew up with some of these people. You got to remember, Moses grew up in that, he grew up in the Pharaoh's house. You know, it's like, I know a lot of these guys. You want me to go to Pharaoh? I don't think I can do that. I mean, I grew up in his house. There's always a reason We could all give a reason why. Gideon is hiding when God calls him. There's a lot going on. He's hiding behind a wine press. I got an idea what he was doing near a wine press. But he was hiding there. You know? You imagine Noah? You know, you've heard some of the bits on it, the Bill Cosby bit many years ago. You want me to do what? Build you a what? Look around, there's no water anywhere. It's like, you want to build a boat? For what? Let's turn it into a restaurant? You know those, like those train restaurants, they turn boats and trains around. What do you want me to build you a restaurant? Looks like, well, you're the only one who got that. I love it. Oh, boy. Eat lunch Friday. On me, lunch on me Friday. So, and you could go right down the list, you know. Think of all these men in Israel when Goliath is coming out, 40 days and 40 nights. There wasn't one guy, and David walks up and says, you mean to tell me there's not one guy in this whole camp who will go and take a spear and shove it right down that guy's throat? I mean, you're telling me there's no one here? Mike Ferraro was in the spoke at the veterans thing today. I appreciated him being there, our town supervisor. And of course, I had to say something about the tax rate. Because that's what you say at a veterans thing. So I said, Mike, I hear your budget talks aren't going so well. He said, no. He said, if these two other board members don't get on board and decide, or three board members don't get on board and decide they're going to use this Seneca Metals money, the tax rate's going to go up 43%. Yeah. Because it's low. So I said, what's that? Yeah, enjoy that. No, you'll be getting mail from me. I don't do tents. No, I don't do tents. No, we can't. Yeah, right into a camper. Oh, my gosh. That caused so much trouble, I got to tell you. We did our missions conferences in Rome, you know, and I told everybody, hey, we're going to go camping. We can camp at the church grounds in Rome at the missions conference. Everybody was excited. So I rent a camper, you know. And people start showing up with tents. They're looking at me like, what are you, you know, what are you, some kind of, you know, wimp? Yes. Yes, undoubtedly, yes. I don't do tents. I would leave a pregnant woman, my wife, in a tent alone to avoid sleeping in a tent. That's the kind of guy I am. I'm just telling you. With a toddler. I couldn't sleep. On the ground. Why would you sleep on the ground in America? You know why I won't do it? You know why I won't do it? I'll tell you why I won't do it. Because I have a job. Anyway. Way off base. Really. So I said to him, I said, listen, the tax rates, you know. And he said, and this is not the year to raise taxes. You know, this is not the year to raise taxes. And then he said, these guys have been on this board. I said, when do they come off? He said, next year. They go up for election next year. Dave DeLayless and Dave Avery, and I'll say it, they both need to go. Who's going to run? So I said to Mike, I said, you got anybody you know who wants to? He said, nobody in their right mind wants to do this. You see what it's become? It's no longer an honorable service. It's become this, and I think we've made it that, but it's become this horrible burden where you know the next 4 years of your life are going to be misery. But, okay, Gideon, Moses, who's going to do it? Somebody's got to do it. What are you doing? What is that, a garage door opener? What in the world are you beeping in the middle of my message? What was that? That was the worst distraction of the in the history of the church, Joe. We've had people been here for 30 years have never heard anything like that in the middle of a service. And he's like, it's not the phone ringing, it's him pushing a button, and he knows the noise is coming out of the button. And I'm watching him do it.
He's turning up his hearing aid.
Oh. Was that what you're doing? See, Steve, what you've gotten into? Steve's, how long you guys been coming here now? 8 months? Over a year? So you survived the 1 year period. See, usually people come for under a year, they're out of here. They're like, these people are nuts. I'm out of here. But now we know that you're out of your mind or you wouldn't be here. So that was bad. Get a bounce house if you want to have fun. Anybody, listen, if you want to bless Joe and Deb, they'd like a bounce house set up right at their little house over on in the Kenmore there, and they'd like to have kids come over and bounce in the house. You are so wounded by that whole experience. It's just amazing. So you got a couple. So who's going to run for these offices? Who's going to step up and say, okay, I'll go? But you know, that's in one scenario of maybe hearing a call from God. But what about just the neighbor, the next door neighbor, being prompted? And what I want to encourage you to do this week is just, you know, don't walk around like a zombie trying to figure out what God wants. But at the same time, there's going to be people come your way. Don't overlook that. Remember, God may have appointments on your calendar that you haven't put on there. You know, your calendar may have some divine appointments on it this week, and just be alert, okay? Father, thank you for this, what appears to be incoherent rambling. We ask you, God, to please use it to bless the body here. In Jesus' name, amen.